Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny and the call and the purpose of God. It is in this place where we walk by God that we learn how to trust God more, that we depend on Him more, that we develop, we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We become more and more like Him. And as we do, we become that light, that life that someone else needs. We become that salt that someone else can savor and see the goodness of the Lord in our life through us. We show and display Him. And as we do, people are drawn, attracted to the lifestyle that we live for the glory of God. In this process, we understand that God chooses unlikely people. He chooses people that we would not choose ourselves, and He chooses them for His glory, and He chooses them so He can get the glory out of them. And so as we begin to walk by faith and trust God more and more, we see His character in us becoming more and more like Him. We see the attributes of the Father. We see more of ourselves dying or diminishing, and we see more of Christ rising. We've been looking at unlikely places of blessings, and this unlikely place of blessing is a place where we see God show up in a way that it does not seem like He can, or any possibilities for our life will happen, that it's not looking the way that God said, but He shows up, and when He does, He's a blessing in a miraculous way to us and any nation or any person that basically we come in contact with. God is just that awesome and just that good. So we're going to go back and look further at this, studying the unlikely place of blessing with David, and this is in leadership. And we're going to see how leadership is developed, how it's in an unlikely place. David was chosen by God, not by man, and his leadership is developed as he's in the process of becoming the king. And God does it in such a miraculous way. David does not only just become a leader himself, but the men that follow him, the 600 men that follow him while he's in his process, he's training and teaching them how to be godly, how to live a life that's godly, how to worship God, how to have integrity, how to handle certain things. So it's not just David that is growing. He's growing the men that will now show their sons and their family how to live godly. So we see duplication here, and we see that God is doing something awesome. So we're going to go back to that place, and we're going to pick it up again, and we're going to read a little bit more and study a little bit more and learn a little bit more about what God is going to do in unlikely places of development for leadership. Now, David at this point has been saved because the Philistines are getting ready to fight the Israelites, and David has been saved because he knew that he could not deny the king, but he knew he could not fight against God's people. And so what happens is the prince of the other nations, probably the governors within that the region of where they were, they didn't want David there because they understood that David was a fierce warrior, and they heard the song and, in fact, recited the song that was sung about David killing his 10,000. And they did not want him on in the battle because they thought that he was going to turn against them. And so the king sends David back to Ziklag, which Ziklag is the place that he stayed for a year and 4 months, and even that became his headquarters even after he became king. And so we see that David is at a place where he's trusting God to be his deliverer even in the predicament that he's placed himself in. But while he's there, he does not just stay there. He is gaining information. He's gaining wisdom. He's gaining knowledge. He's studying. And what I said before was never miss an opportunity when you're at a place in a job or business or at a ministry. Never miss an opportunity to gain knowledge, to gain information, because it will come up. You will need it later on in life. So David is there. He is saved. Saul consults a medium, swears by the name of the Lord that he's going to protect this medium, this woman who's called or conjured up the dead, and he swears by God that he's going to protect her. And there's no way that he can do that. But he receives a word, so to speak, from this individual telling him that that he's going to lose the battle and that he and his sons are going to die. And so we're at this place now that we're seeing what's getting ready to transpire. So Saul has gotten this news. He was so afraid of the battle, so afraid of what's going to happen, and he did not have the presence of the Lord with him. And so we see that in the midst of what's going on, that God is faithful. He's faithful to do everything that he's promised to do concerning David. Now, after David and his men are returned back to Ziklag, the Amalekites attacked, and they attacked and they burnt everything, and they captured David's wives and the wives and the children and the family of all of his men. When this happens, this is something terrible, because they understand that in war, that most of the time when there's an attack that's fierce, the people are either killed or they're placed in slavery, and they have lost their children. Children and family was very, very important to them. They believed in the word that says multiply, and so having children, having a family was very important, and they loved and cherished their family. And so we see that at this particular time when this happens, after the Israelites have been, after David and them have been attacked, the men desire to kill David. They're so distressed. They're so angry. They're so hurt that they desire to kill David. And the reason why they desire to kill David, because in their mind they're saying, if we had been here and not been with you, this would never would have happened. And so that's their perspective right now. They don't have anyone else to blame or anyone else to attack but the leader. And you have to be very careful when you're leading people and things happen out of your control, that the attack that happens against you, whether it be word, actions, or deed by individuals that are experiencing that attack, you have to be careful that you don't take it personally, and that you go always to the Lord and you remember the word of the Lord that came to you concerning your life and concerning your destiny. Now, David understood that he was facing a serious crisis as a leader, because his leadership now has got to kick in, because not only has he got to encourage himself, but he's got to encourage the people that are with him after this hurtful place, after this traumatic blow. He's got to encourage them. And so when you're a leader, you have to depend on God to develop you, so that even in the midst of pain, you're able to encourage someone else, encourage those that you follow, and move to the next place, or help them heal, or help them go to the next place. And that's something that you will have to understand. As you grow as a leader, there will be things that you'll never be able to stop. There will be things that will happen, but you have to be able to encourage yourself and encourage those that are with you, so that your leadership skills don't fail in the place of crisis or the place of pain. So David is here, and he's in distress, and he's filled with grief personally, and then he's filled with grief for the loss, for what's happened for his men. So there's a lot of pressure on him. There's a lot of difficulty. And the people spoke very strongly. They spoke really harsh against him. They said some things that, you know, that were very bad, but they were in anger and distress when they said it. David had to basically encourage himself, strengthen himself in the Lord. He had to go to what he knew would never fail him, which was God. And he had to go in there in the presence of the Lord so that he could get what he needed. And this is something that Saul never did. He never ran to God in trouble. David always ran to God in trouble. He always ran to God when things were great, wonderful. He always ran to God, and Saul never did this. And this was one of the mistakes, because when we're in the place of trouble, that's when we need to run to the Lord. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God, you've been the shelter for me. You've been the strong tower from my enemies. You've been the one that has been there. So lead me to where I know that no matter what's going on in my life, I can get the help that I need, the protection that I need, the understanding, the direction that I need. And this is what David does. He runs to God and encourages himself in God. And he learned how to wait on the Lord. He just didn't go in there. But David learned how to wait on the Lord. He told the priest, he told the priest that was representing there, which was Abner's son, he said to bring me the ephod. And so David went in because he understood if I don't go in and get some help from the Lord and get an answer from the Lord, then there's going to be something serious that's going to happen to me and to my family and to the family of the people that I'm leading. So he goes in, and it's after this that Psalms 40 is written by David, and it talks about the deliverance of God. He understands God's deliverance power, and so he understands that. So when Amalek, the priest, the son of the priest, gives him the ephod, he goes in, and the Lord requires of the Lord, what should I do? Should I pursue and overtake them? And the Lord answers him and said, to pursue, you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. That was enough for David. All he needed to know that God was with him. All he needed to know that God was going to do it. And that was enough to stir his courage and his boldness and stir the courage and the boldness of those around him. And so as a leader, you've always got to be able to give them a word of encouragement that lets them know everything's going to be okay, that God has already spoken. And whatever he has spoken, it's going to manifest. It's going to happen. So David was at that point where he understood that. And you have to understand that is a very bad place to be in when you don't know what to do, and you have to wait on the Lord and be encouraged to know that he will not fail you. I have no more time for today. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life, the process of there. I pray that this has encouraged you, and we'll go into some more tomorrow and hear what the Lord has to say. But I promise God is going to be faithful to you if you are faithful to seek his faith and see what he has to say about every situation in your life. He's going to answer. You have to be there to hear what he has to say, obey what he says, and know that he's going to do what he promised. God bless you and have a wonderful day.